genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
We're turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. We're on every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 o'clock to 11, and you can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is all media, all the time. We're going to delve into media in all of its forms. My first guest this hour is probably secretly laughing at me because we're on terrestrial radio. He believes traditional media is dying. He espouses democracy when it comes to all media. Anyone and everyone can be the media. We're going to discuss his latest book, Be the Media. My second guest is making TV history by becoming the first female guest announcer on the TV show Wheel of Fortune. We're going to talk about how she got there and why it took so long for a woman to become a game show announcer. My third guest is one of the country's leading authorities on getting into show business. She began her acting career at the age of 5. Today she coaches acting and singing performance skills. She's the founder of Pepper J Productions. We're going to take a deeper look into the business of show business. And as always, if you want to join our conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. David Matheson is an internationally recognized media expert with more than 20 years' experience in content distribution. Some of the world's largest and smallest publishers use his solution to directly connect with a massive audience for maximum exposure. His legacy provides global citizens with free news, financial data, audio, video information, and the web's most popular sites. His experience? Well, he was the chairman and CEO of Connectica Corporation from 1998 to 2001. Connectica enabled large publishers to manage robust content relationships. He was also worked for Reuters from 1994 to 1999 as the vice president of syndication, and he created numerous products for Reuters to pioneer business model for content syndication. David holds a BA from the State University of New York and a master's degree in international business with a focus on Eastern Asian studies from Columbia University's International School of Public Affairs. David's latest book, as I mentioned, is titled Be the Media. Welcome to the show, David, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for being our guest. We're privileged to have you on board because you're truly one of the industry leaders when it comes to media distribution. And you've got a philosophy which I like very much. It's very upbeat. You think that now is going to be a renaissance for media and that digital is going to be the reason for the renaissance, not the death of media as so many people are predicting. So what is your concept about the medium and why is it different now? Why is it going to be a renaissance in the future?
Yeah, we're at this point where it's this unprecedented flourishing of human creativity, and it's really enabled by the digital media allowing people to not have to worry too much about formats and, I should say, really packages. You know, you don't have to worry, well, if we've got a content that you want to get out, for example, for a book, you don't have to put it into a print format. But now that it's digital, obviously it can be distributed, put it in an ebook format or PDF format. And of course, the global internet allows you to now distribute it. Same thing with music. It's in an MP3 file. It can be delivered anywhere. You don't have to worry about the device or the container being necessarily a black radio that plugs into a wall somewhere. You can now listen to it wherever, whenever, and however listeners want. So, you know, when I think about, I was going through the book, Be the Media, and looking at every one of these different fields, whether it be publishing or radio or music or video or television or film, every one of the folks that I was interviewing is saying, oh, there's this revolution going on in music and a revolution going on in film. And it was interesting to note that there are too many revolutions there for this to be a coincidence. And the only thing that I could see that was an equivalent in human terms or creative terms was the Renaissance. And, you know, Renaissances don't come around very often, but when they do, they usually last hundreds of years, and their impact are felt for millennia. And I truly believe that we are in a Renaissance period, and we're probably just getting started. Maybe we're about 100 years into it, but certainly a couple of decades. You know, once things got digitized, once files were able to be digitized and standardized, that's when things really started to explode.
All right, we're talking to David Matheson, everybody, and I like your analogy, this switch from atoms to bits. Very important, because digitizing the world does make it a little bit more portable. So think of digitizing, I guess, like we think of the printing press in the 1500s, and that's what launched the Renaissance in Italy and so forth. So talk to me a little bit more about this, really this change from atoms to bits, because it has really broken down not so much the content, but the distribution channels. And what is the impact on the distribution channels of this transition?
Oh, that's a great point, and the best example is probably video. You know, that was the most difficult to break down and certainly the most recent. And if you think about it, it's really only just the last few years where everything kind of got standardized. And you're absolutely right. Now you can distribute it. You know, in the old days, you really used to have, if you're creating video, you needed millions or at least thousands of dollars worth of video auditing, audio editing equipment, production equipment. You needed to worry about standards and encoders and decoders and bit rates and compression and editing and hosting and storage. But really, you really needed to worry about distribution, too. You know, distributing a video was a significant task, whether you were creating a film and you needed to send out film canisters, or you needed to send out even most recently a DVD. Nowadays, you don't have to worry about any of that. You know, you take a small little flip cam for $100 and you upload it to YouTube, and all of a sudden you've got an audience of millions. You don't have to worry about any of the formats or the encoding, and you don't have to worry about the distribution. But let's look at how recent this all is. I mean, in 1995, you got QuickTime, I guess, was released in 1991 for Apple. And, of course, Microsoft came out a year later with Windows Video for Windows in 92. 1999, you've got Napster came out, and then 2002, BitTorrent. And, of course, 2004, you had video blogs, but the big, big push was in 2005, of course. In February of 2005, YouTube makes its debut with 3 million videos on its site. And just a year and a half later, Google buys it for $1.65 billion. You know, like, this is an incredible just 10-year period. I mean, that was just the last 8 or 10 years that all of this took place in video. And I think one of the big enablers, too, on the video market was in October of 2005, when Apple enabled video on the iPod and also put RSS, a really simple syndication, into the iPod directory so that people could download videos to their iPods. So that's 2005. We went from 1995 with Apple's QuickTime and Microsoft for Windows to 2005 with the video iPod and YouTube. That's just a 10-year period, Bill. I mean, it's incredible what has happened just in the last decade. So imagine what's going to happen 10 years from now.
Well, it is incredible to think about it. And David, you do spend time talking and thinking about it. This is David Matheson that we're speaking to. His book is Be the Media. And David, you've provoked some response from our listeners. Bob Allen is on the line. Bob, welcome to the show, Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. How are you today?
Well, very good, Bill. It's good to hear. And, you know, as I tuned it on, David, it was like you were preaching to the choir.
Yeah, it's interesting that you – thanks for bringing that up. I mean, I started writing this book in 2002. There was no YouTube. There was there wasn't really podcasting. You know, blogging had just come out in 1999. So think about that, the changes that had taken place just in the course of the period of writing this book. But forget about the technology. Let's go back to the Renaissance and the human terms of this. You know, there were people who really ruled what we saw and heard. They were broadcast and just in television and in video, since we're on that topic. They were the broadcast and cable TV executives, the film studio heads, you know, the theater owners, and these distributors. And they really determined exactly what video content was created, who created it and how, and where and when any of it was distributed and seen. Now, within this last 10 years, we no longer have to play by the rules or watch the games or watch material that other people are creating. Now we can create this material ourselves. And now the audience we find is entertaining and informing each other.
I have one big question for you. Without going into the detail, we are a local internet television station, and as much as I agree and wholeheartedly see your vision, how do we convince the traditional advertising base that this is the new medium and this is where they should be putting their money? Certainly at this time, to be able to monetize this is the next question, because we do have to create jobs in this country.
Absolutely. The real goal in all this, in any other medium, is an audience. You know, you're building, the bigger the audience you build, the more interesting advertisers and sponsors are going to pay attention. And, you know, it's challenging right now. The good news is you can find niche audiences and therefore also find some niche sponsors or advertisers to hopefully underwrite the costs of some of the production costs and hopefully make a living. And we're finding that is happening with certain genres. Some more popular than others, as usual, but hopefully that'll increase over time. But the real goal right now is, you know, how do you build as big a base as possible or attract an audience, a niche audience, sure, that a niche advertiser will want to get their brand in front of.
Bob, thank you so much for your question. Appreciate you being a loyal listener to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
As always, Billy, you have a good one. And David, thanks for your response, okay?
Thank you very much.
We're talking to David Mathis and everybody, his book, Be the Media. And David, in your answer that you just gave to Bob, some interesting points about the breaking down of the distribution. One of the things that happens, however, when there is a breakdown in distribution is you get this, as you call it, democratization of all of the content. However, with the traditional distribution came editing and filtering. I mean, that's what the distributors do. They were the filters. Now, when you have everybody can create anything at any time, you really don't have any editing, you don't have any selection of what is best and what is not best. And the market may decide ultimately by the number of views that they look at a particular video, which is best. But how does the market find out about new videos when they come out onto YouTube so that they can vote with their eyeballs on it?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I guess, you know, we're assuming that there was some golden age of broadcasting where the most important things or things that are important to a democracy get the most views. And that really didn't happen in the past either. It's still not happening to this day. Some very strange things come out of even broadcast media. I don't know if you remember the Bubble Boy incident, but
yes.
You know, we're all mesmerized and hypnotized by supposedly some kid who's up in a balloon, the Balloon Boy. And he wasn't in that balloon at all, and yet people are watching CNN for, you know, a 14 or 24-hour period, you know, watching a balloon flying over the skies of Texas. And so, you know, the question is, how good have traditional media been in editorializing content as well? Now, NPR, we trusted, it's a respected brand. You know, you've got Reuters, which is a respected brand that's built a 150-year history where people trust what's coming out of those organizations. So I'd say that, you know, we need to find those similar organizations on the web, similar individuals and organizations on the web. Now, how does that happen? Well, it happens through the content that they produce. Like, I follow on the tech side people like Robert Scoble. You know, I follow people like J.D. Laska. I like what they produce. I've been watching their tweets for years, now their Twitter feed, and I've seen their photos and I've watched their videos. So, you know, I tend to gravitate towards those types of people who've built up some capital, I should say social capital, over the web, so you kind of have a trusted source, just like we had some trusted sources in media organizations. Now we're finding trusted sources in individuals. But you're absolutely right. We're going to find those balloon boys. We find them all the time on the Internet, hoaxes, all kinds of strange occurrences, and people just trying to make a name for themselves by posting all kinds of garbage, and lots of people watch it. So, you know, there is a danger there, but I would also say I disagree with this sort of idea that there was some golden age of broadcasting where everybody trusted the news as well. You know, we've been misled by, I could give a million examples of times where we've been misled by news organizations as well.
All right, we're talking to David Mathis in his book, Be the Media. And David, you made a really good point in that last answer about the shifting away from organizations being the filters to individuals like Scoble and others that you mentioned. You yourself are one of those individuals. You've got a great story to tell about how one tweet sold 5,000 copies of your book, Be the Media. Do you mind sharing that with my listeners?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, selling 5,000 copies of a book is a pretty big thing, especially if you do it independently. So I was I got followed by a Twitter follower, and a lot of folks, they're just trying to build a base. You know, I disagree with this model of, you know, let me get as many followers as I can. I always go to, there's always there may be one person out there who's really, really important. So how deeply are you getting to know your one follower? Don't try to get 100. try to understand your one or two or three followers. So I ended up looking up this person's background who followed me. It ended up being a head of the Harnish Foundation, Ruth Ann Harnish, wonderful, wonderful woman. And I sent her a direct message through Twitter, and she ended up buying four copies of my book before I had sold a copy. And then I befriended her on Facebook, again, getting closer and closer to my followers. And she invited me to this conference at Baruch on sustainable journalism to speak there. So I ended up speaking there, and after that conference, we shook hands on a deal for 5,000 more books at that conference. So, you know, Twitter and I should say Facebook are great to get to know people and to build an audience, but I would say that big deals like this don't happen through social media. It's a great way to get interest and partners, but the best way to actually do the big deals is to get off your butt, get out from behind the computer, and go out and talk to people, shake their hands, have some dinner, and actually meet them face-to-face in person. There's no replacement for that, as you know, Bill.
That's true. We're talking to David Matheson. And, David, to that point, getting out, it's all about people. You really are getting out from behind the computer and doing some wonderful thing for people. You've got a new venture called Home Aid. Do you mind telling me about that?
Sure. Just like Live Aid raised, you know, $250 million to stop famine in Ethiopia, and Farm Aid in the United States has been going for 25 years to help family farms, so family farmers stay on their farms. We're doing an event called Home Aid, which is designed to benefit the homeless, especially in America. And you can find out more about that at homeaid.net. And we've got some great celebrities like Jackson Brown. But we're also encouraging people and musicians and others to provide us with videos. And it's basically, we're going to have a video contest. And then leading up to the event in November in Nashville and New Orleans, the winners of the video contest will fly them down to Denver, to Nashville or New Orleans to perform their song or their video. And we'll also potentially get them onto the Best of Home Aid DVD and CD.
Oh, that's wonderful. We've been talking to David Matheson, everybody, author of the book Be the Media, How to Create and Accelerate Your Message Your Way. David, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you so much.